It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. I'm glad to see that Bo does not have to ride in the streets of Atlanta now with his news.
It was.
Which feels like it's your news.
And I didn't feel like riding with him, so I'm glad as well. I would have had his back, as I try to usually do, but that was not something I would have been looking forward to tonight. I barely made it to Hawks Tip at 10 p.m. Eastern last night. Watched a little bit of the Bama basketball game against Illinois, top 25 matchup, and I had like one eyelid open by the time the Hawks tipped against Golden State. So yeah, I would have struggled riding out with Bo last night.
I would have struggled myself because I tried to watch. I had a meeting for the Brown Grass yesterday, and then we had our call, and I ate dinner. Also, real quick side note. We've gotten to the point in life where whenever Amy is out for like a meeting or whatever and she eats, she just brings it home, and that's like my dinner is like the half of her leftovers. Like so or her leftovers, which is half of what her meal was. So that's what I had. Like, I had some kind of jalapeno burger. It was really good. But anyways.
It's a hard left. All right.
So I sat down. I ate, and then I sat there, and I was like, man, I'm going to relax. I'm going to watch this the final episode of The Penguin, which I'm still haven't fit. Don't know spoilers. I think I've already read one spoiler, and I'm a little upset. But I sat down to watch it. Literally, I got 2 minutes in. I woke up. It was like 8:15.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I'm just going to go to bed now.
Yeah, I'm not even going to tell y'all what time I went to sleep last night.
Body's like, shutting it down.
Toddler schedule.
Oh, like 6 p.m.?
But I feel...
Yeah, I wish my toddler was on
I feel good, but that's not living. But I needed it.
You know what?
That is living.
That is living.
That is living.
That is not living.
They're... Yeah,
my shirt's on backwards.
It is.
It is on backwards.
Dang. Looks like it's right. Choking you.
You're doing great, sweetie.
I just felt something on my neck, and it's a
you're
attack.
You're doing great,
so
sweetie.
I'll fix that.
Yeah,
but I got. I'm
didn't
well
feel
rested.
That like in the car or anything.
Well rested. What?
You didn't feel it in the car?
No, I had on that bubble coat because it's freezing outside. My you guys didn't know.
What is that? How does that mask the fact that it's choking you?
Winter's here.
That is living. I disagree because you travel a ton. I travel a medium amount. Mike has 2 kids. So we don't get sleep every night like most people or like some would or like the doctors tell you to, right? So we are going to have nights where we get 3-4 hours of sleep. The nights where we get like 7-8. I love it. I revel in it. Like
it's
I woke
luxury.
Up this morning and I was like, man,
yeah.
That doesn't happen all the time. But when it does, I'm okay with
no,
it.
No, that part way. Of it's living, but going to bed at kid hours is not.
No,
I wanted to watch
disagree.
A documentary.
Living. Now that's living.
But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was like, man, it's already 6 o'clock and I am not.
No.
Dude.
I am fading
look, man,
fast.
Your last paragraph sounds like you're 75. You're like, yeah. I wanted to watch this documentary, yeah.
Hey,
but I
Martha,
went to bed at 6
Martha
o'clock.
I was trying
Martha
to catch
Stewart
the, you know.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch this,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
The which one?
Martha Stewart.
She was a model,
no,
dude.
I haven't seen that.
You didn't know that?
I did after the trailer.
I didn't know that.
Guys,
Tiff, can you help me with a little bit of self-reflection? Bo in the crossover said, I tell stories longer than him. And I was like,
You repeat stories,
yeah.
But you don't tell stories longer than him.
You repeat stories.
Yeah. I know, you and you know what's funny is you called me out yesterday, and I was like, damn, you do the same thing, but I feel like I always...
No, I don't. Yeah. Me and my sister argue about
you
this.
Do. You do.
You both
but
repeat stories.
I always try to do such a good job of listening to it like it's the
oh,
first
I was
time.
Like, yeah, I'm
you know what
now,
I mean? You're like, yeah, you
this.
Told me that. I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, call me out. I need to
you
know. Need,
you do
well,
repeat
and that's
stories.
That's
both
why
of
I brought up
did.
The self-reflection.
Both
that's
of
why
you
I brought
did.
Up the self-reflection.
Wait, so the self-reflection was a
no, well, the self-reflection was, can you help me? Do I tell stories longer than Bo?
And then you kind of stray. I'm sorry. But Bo, you tell marathon stories.
I know.
Your story just now went from us talking about Chris Sale riding in the streets to somehow you're telling about the jalapeno burger because Amy travels and she always brings back yeah. whatever's left over for you to eat dinner. And then you almost caught part of the penguin, and then somehow then you fell asleep. And then I don't know what happened.
So I'm not losing
It's not
mind.
That I You're tell not. Long stories. It's that my stories breed stories. See, the funny thing about...
That's what makes stories long.
The funny thing about Mike repeating stories is when you caught him out yesterday... He just still, like, completely rode over you and told the story again.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
Yeah.
Also,
and
this opening
the president
segment
again.
Has turned into us roasting each other, which I'm all here for.
Yeah,
I love this stuff.
We need to do that suspect thing that everyone does. Did you see the TNT crew? They did it with Charles Barkley.
What did they do to Bart?
Like, one of the guys, they show him running, if you guys have seen this challenge. Barkley's pretending, you know, running lightly. And one of the guys is like... Suspects Ozempic's not working because he still can't, his blankety blank can't lose
Dang.
Weight or something like that.
Dang.
Right? Then there was one with Shaq where they were like, suspect got tired trying to name all of his kids.
Who's got more kids, Shaq or Dwight Howard?
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I feel like we would probably all try to go for the jugular, though. And I don't know. Someone might left to the left of me.
No, I won't go. I don't go for jugulars.
No, I said you might end up crying.
Oh, no, look, trust me, I can handle whatever you got. You know what? Remember that Hard Knocks where it was the one of the Cromarties? They asked him to name his kids.
Yeah, Zay Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah, did he successfully name all of them? I can't remember.
I don't know.
That's why I just want one.
It was the hesitation that was the interesting part of that. Yeah, that's why you just want one. You're afraid you wouldn't be able to name two?
Just say, hey, you, that's my parents.
Oh, man.
I'm terrible. So we were at the, when I was doing in the meeting for the Brown
Grass. What's wrong with this man, Day-Day?
When I was at the meeting for the Brown Grass, somebody goes, we're gonna put this guy here. You know him. And I go, he's a member of the club. Yeah, does he have a nickname?
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Day-Day?
No, I was just going to say, try having four kids with all of them's names starting with the same letter.
Oh.
Yeah, why would you do that to yourselves?
Listen, I just follow the rules.
Oh, never mind. Must respect.
He just dropped Linda. Listen,
must respect
Linda.
To Ms. Day-Day. Must
listen,
respect.
Linda.
That's why George Foreman named all his kids George or Georgette.
Oh, my goodness. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Yes, we were originally talking about Bo not riding in the streets, and that is because Braves, Chris Sale, he is the winner of the NL Cy Young Award. So after having a comeback season, he received 26 of the 30 place votes from Baseball Writers Association of America to finish ahead of Philadelphia's Zach Wheeler, who received the other four, and Pittsburgh rookie Paul Skenes.
Yeah, I don't know why he only got 26 of the 30. He should have been unanimous like Tariq Skubal was, who got 30 of 30. Chris Sale won the Triple Crown. So did Skubal. 2.38 ERA. 225 strikeouts. He led the NL in wins. And you said it to Zach Wheeler, got four of the first place votes. He you know, his ERA was a 2.57. I don't know why it was even, why there was even a question. I don't know why it was a split, you know, not a split, but where he took four votes. Chris Sale was the most dominant pitcher from start to finish in baseball this year.
You know what's interesting about it to me, and I think it's the Braves' eighth Cy Young. Obviously, that group back in the 90s, and Warren Spahn, I think, was the other one. And I actually, that's a lot. Like, I think the Dodgers lead all time with 12.
You thought it was more.
I thought it was more. I was sitting there going, didn't they win 5 out of 6 in the 90s?
I think they won. I think it was like, I want to say Maddox won like 95, or Glavine did one, and then Smoltz won 96, and it was like 97, 98.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, I think, yeah, like you said, Maddox won 3 in a row, I believe, and then it's, you know, then it was Glavine, then it was like Smoltz a year or two later, and I'm sitting there going, 8? Like, and the only thing I come up with, I don't know when the Cy Young Award was created, so I'm like, maybe you missed, you know, some of the guys you would have, but you'd think like, you know, Phil Niekro and some of these other guys that the Braves have had, these great pitchers. You would have thought that they would have been closer to the Dodgers all the time.
Glavine won in 91, and then you had Maddox. So then I think Maddox won in 92.
He won 3 in a row.
Well, he won 93, 94, 95 for the Braves.
Right.
I want to say, though, that Maddox won 92 for the Cubs.
He might have.
And then Smoltz won 96. They skipped a year in 97, and Glavine won 98.
Yeah, I was going to say Glavine was that 98 season, so... That's crazy, man. But I thought it would have been more than 8, but it's not. But congratulations again to Chris Sale. Well-deserving. I don't know about, you know, the sweep of the first-place votes, but whatever.
They should have.
I'm just happy.
If Skubal did it, why didn't sell to it. That's I understand Wheeler's a hell
it's
of a
It's not about
pitcher.
Sales, about competition.
Well, it wasn't that close.
Maybe you guys can debate it out later on in the show. We'll have more on Chris Sale up ahead. Your Atlanta Falcons, we broke down the defense and some changes the guys were hoping to see over the bye week. Now the offense is up. That's next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're back here on the Morning Shift.
Yeah, I feel like, what's the, is it Baby Driver, the movie? That's what this sounds like.
Yeah, probably.
Baby Driver. But am I right on that? No, I mean, not for the actual song, but you know, like the movie.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it does.
That's a great movie.
Great movie. And it's all over.
Filmed in Atlanta.
Atlanta,
it's got John Hamm in it. I think John Leguizamo's in it.
Such a good movie. Underrated.
But unfortunately, it's Kevin Spacey in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a creep. Well, I mean, that's not allegedly. That's pretty much known.
Yeah.
Like, you leave no room to pivot sometimes.
Yeah, that's.
What do you mean?
It's just.
I just took all the room out the air up.
No, yeah, she's. What is she supposed to do? Oh, speaking of creeps, Falcons are creeping towards the end zone at a slow pace.
No, she should have said, speaking of things that happen in Atlanta. You know, there you go. I think speaking of things that are filmed in Atlanta, the Falcons are on their bye week. But you know, you could have done that. I mean, I can't write it for you, Tiff.
I don't even need a transition. Right, like, you can't even make a transition. It's like because you limited that ability for something normal to be said because you just ended with something.
I just spoke the truth. I just gave you a full.
I'm not saying you did.
I broke down Baby Driver, and then I ended with it had a creep in it.
I am going to call Tiff out.
It's a great movie.
I was chastised for last week saying that I was drinking coffee, hot coffee, and I was getting warm. I had to take my sweater off. Tiff's like, drinking a cold smoothie, I got to put my jacket on. And I was like, dude, it's the same thing.
Well, you
weren't. The same thing.
First off,
I feel like we just, sometimes different. We just, you know, I came at you about your stories.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just.
Sometimes you're just like, yeah, you're stupid.
No, I'm
like,
whoa, I know we don't.
Whoa.
I've never said that.
What do you got to say there,
Mr.
Mio?
You've almost been reinstated as like kind of, like I'm in a good mood today, so you might be reinstated as the favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
You had a long run.
I did.
You did.
As the favorite or the underdog?
As the favorite.
Okay, good.
And then
I didn't know we had favorites in here, but I guess we did.
Well, yeah, I get to
do that. I've always
called somebody.
Trust me, you know when you're not Tiff's favorite. She doesn't do a good job of hiding it.
No, I'm easy to read. And I was talking to somebody about that over the weekend.
Tiff.
And it kind of stinks. Like, I wish I could, like, my face could lie better.
If I'm easy to read, you're blatantly, like, I don't even know what. Like, I called you the other day for the conference call, and you're like,
you weren't
hello?
Supposed to.
And then I go, well, damn. And you're like, oh, you heard that? Well, yeah, because you hit answer, and then gave a deep sigh, as if I wouldn't hear it.
No, honestly, it was taking a while for, like, it to connect, so I didn't hear you right away, so. You know.
Oh, that's why you sighed.
I was cooking.
To put a bow on this, have I ever been your favorite?
Oh.
I mean, Dylan, you're neutral. You never really.
Oh, I never swayed to either side.
You got out of pocket the other day with her, though. I can't remember what it was now, but you said something that was out of pocket with her, and I could tell by her face.
But
she was like, what?
But see, the spin, Dylan, is that being neutral is that, you know, you never get too high, just like the players say. You never get too high.
No, I'm good.
But you're
great with being neutral. That's good. That's where I want to
be. I always like you.
Consistency is.
Right?
Yeah.
That's great.
You know,
that's the best answer I could have heard.
You know, Day-Day knows what he does that bothers me. That's not a story. I'm just kidding. What?
I don't think Day-Day knows, actually.
I was like, oh, he was confused.
All right, let's get back to the Falcons now. Guys, three things that they need to improve on or change offensively after we had extensive discussions about the defense yesterday.
Or for your transition to Bo, what do the Falcons do that bother you?
What do they, yeah. There we go.
I tell you what bothers me is their red area production and efficiency.
All right.
And
I like where you're going.
It's actually I'm gonna two part this just to throw the whole show up in upside down. But the red zone efficiency, they're 53%, and it's not brutally bad, but it's been really bad lately, and what to me is causing the biggest issue in the red area is their penalties and untimely penalties. And we saw it the last 2 weeks in a row where they've been inside the red area and they've had massive penalties. I understand the Chris Lynch. I think it was BS. The reality is I actually think both of them were ticky-tack and shouldn't have been called.
Sure.
But it's happened too many times to this offense in other areas of the field where you have these big penalties that kill drives, but when it's in the red area, it's magnified.
Yeah.
And you can't go sign a guy like Kirk Cousins. You can't build this offense, this team around the offense in the first round and with the last four draft picks in the top 10 all being offensive players. You can take the quarterback out of it and not be efficient in the red area.
Yeah.
It is absolutely it's just unacceptable from this team because that's the way this team is built to win.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And when you look at the penalties, I agree with you. It seemed to be always at bad timing because when you look at it, the Falcons are actually top 10 in penalties per play, which is pretty good. Like, you look at penalties per play, Falcons right now, 0.05. That's actually a good number. Opponent's penalty of play is 0.06 for the defense. That's about the same thing, right? So it's number 10 in the NFL. So you're about in the same way. When I get to the red area, though, I think about it differently. I think about it schematically and what the Falcons need to be doing. And that's one thing we have not been able to establish really in the last, let's call it 3 or 4 years, is a vertical run game. And that's what's so frustrating to me, because when you get in the red area, defense want to string you out towards the sideline. They want to be able to make you bounce, right? They want to be able to use the sideline as that 12th defender and kind of kick you out towards there and make you kind of reach towards the pylon. They don't want you to be able to go vertical. And yet the Falcons, time and time again under Arthur Smith and now with whoever's pulling the strings in terms of the run game, be it Zach Robinson or Dwayne Ledford, that's exactly what we do. We've tried to utilize more, and I can see them trying to get to it. We still don't utilize, and Lord knows I'm going to stand up on this chair every single time I get a chance and say we need to pull a lineman every now and then. It just pull them left, pull them right, pull a guard, center, I don't know, one of them. But you look at the best teams in the NFL, they pull linemen. But my point is that I can see them trying to. You and I have looked at some of the backside handoffs, some of the counter-type plays they're trying to install, even pointed out to you earlier today, they're in an inside zone against Denver on third and long. But it's just not working. And when you get in the red area, when you have the vertical passing game we do and you have an immobile quarterback, you have to be able to run the ball north and south in the red area if that's if that's something that you want to increase the percentage of. And yet we seemingly make no attempts until we get inside the 3-yard line. And then at that point, we're not built for that. Right, if we get inside the 3-yard line, all of a sudden they're in goal line defense. Now all of a sudden they've got 60 linemen on the field, and we can't get movement up front because Chris Lindstrom, our guard, weighs 300 pounds. So it's frustrating to watch. And if they can start to up those numbers a little bit in the red area, I think that to your point, it'll pay dividends.
Yeah, it is almost like when we get the it is, and I know this is one of the things I get on the fans for sometimes, but. I get an uneasy feeling when we get inside the 5-yard line.
Oh, me too.
You feel like you know exactly what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, I feel like we're not going to get push and that we need it. And the point you're making is I can think of one time or one season in the last 15 years where I've been confident on short down and distance.
But I was there for it. Or was it
no, it was actually 22.
Okay,
that's the best to me, and that was the year where we were running like 200 yards a game. It felt like, and every time we ran the ball, it was against a loaded box, and I felt like we could get. And even then, we weren't phenomenally good, but we were better than we had been in a long time. And there was probably 2010 as well.
Yeah, now that I think about it, Harvey's last year here when I was a rookie, we were. Pretty solid.
That was
short yardage,
and that was that was a run first team. I think we forget that the 2008 to about to 2010 and a little bit of 11, even though we had Julio at that point, we were run first football teams. I know we're short, and I'm going to get to it next break, but there is route concepts in the offense that I know that they have built in that I don't feel like they're doing enough of.
Interesting.
And I just think that I want to get your take, and maybe I'm missing the fact that we're doing it more than I realize.
Okay.
But the short yardage thing has been an issue. Red area, but the penalties. We have to get better on offense and penalties. You know, I saw last week penalties took points off the board, and in the last 2 weeks, even with the fact that you get knocked out, but also we can't have the dumb penalties on any side of the football. And we just can't the 10 and 15 yard penalties as a whole, and I know we're just talking about offense, are killing this team. It is burying us. We're not good enough to overcome it.
Yeah, and to your point, I think that by any measure, and maybe look, both of y'all can tell me if I'm wrong. By any measure, I think we're more explosive right now than we were last year. Right? Is that fair to say? We've got a top 10 passing offense. Bijan is ripping off, you know, 8 yard runs at a clip. He actually had an explosive against the Saints on the ground.
Yeah, that's
which we
fair
haven't
to
seen
say.
Him. Okay.
Yeah.
The problem is that we don't have off script explosives in the Falcons offense. We don't do anything off script, as a matter of fact. And a lot of people will trace that back to Kirk Cousins' mobility and some of the other things. But you look at the best teams in the NFL over the last 5 years, off script explosives are a massive part of why these teams have been so good. And I'm talking about, think about the time, amount of times you see Jalen Hurts roll out and hit somebody downfield. Lamar, obviously famous for it. Brock Purdy, off script. Patrick Mahomes, off script. We don't do anything off script, so when we get behind the eight ball in terms of penalty yardage like you're talking about, there's almost no overcoming it because we don't do anything like that.
And I push back slightly that there are some things I've seen off script that either we don't realize it because of the quarterback hasn't left the pocket, but like Drake London has a play where Kirk is sitting, and Drake stops his route, realizes Kirk's not in trouble, but still has the ball, and then turns upfield, he hits him. But then there's the off script where you're first in 20, and Drake starts moving forward to, you know, before he's supposed to,
right,
and it wipes off a 20-yard play.
Well, again, and I agree with what you're saying. The off script explosive, though, is what I'm leaning into, because I don't know if Drake's catch on that one would have qualified as that. But yeah, anyways, good stuff.
Could we see some movement in the next edition of the college football playoff rankings, which happens to be next week? We don't know. We'll see what stems coming out of the weekend. There are some matchups that could lend itself to some upsets. We'll discuss next. We come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift this hour, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Right, we'll get to some of the matchups this week. Right now, I want to look at Tom Fornelli. We've talked about him on the show before, a writer for CBS College Football, and he does a power rankings for quarterbacks around college football. And so this week, he does have Shedeur Sanders at 1, Jackson Dart at 2, Jalen Milroe at 3, 4, Dylan Gabriel, 5, Lenora Sellers of South Carolina, 6, Will Howard of Ohio State, 7, Curtis Rook of Indiana, 8 is Sam Leavitt of Arizona State, Clade Klubnik, Clemson, and Sawyer Robinson of the Baylor Bears.
The old Baylor Bears.
I just assumed everyone knew the other quarterbacks where they were from. Shedeur Sanders, Colorado.
Before we get to Shedeur, the Clade Klubnik, he's like kind of rebranding himself that he's a very good player. Not very, but he's a good player. And the play he made to win that game
saved
the other day.
Season.
Well, it saved their season, but you're watching the game and you're like, oh, okay, he's going to scramble. Oh! Yeah. Oh, no! Because he like ran like through like what was going to be like an ankle tackle, it felt like. And he kind of did a little high step just to get through it.
Yeah.
And he just kept going, and it was like, I know, it's kind of like watching a glacier pass through the ocean, because you're like, wait, he's moving faster than you think.
I also want to point out real quick that in Fornelli's list, it's not a draft board, and he doesn't rank any QB the week after a loss or if they are injured.
Yeah, so. I'm glad you said that. Is there anything that would hold him out of putting Cam Ward on this list? I mean, is there an injury? They're not coming off a loss. Right.
I don't know. Carson Beck's not on the list either. I thought he had a game that put him that would move him up, because to me this list is fluid.
Yeah,
it is fluid. Yeah,
and you know, Shador's the top because he's been balling out, and Colorado has won what, like 6 straight or something.
And
like
that was his point, because people were mad that he was never on the list before, but he's like, they were losing before.
Yeah.
Like, you don't rank him after a loss. Now they're winning, and he's making a surge up his ranks and other people's conversations of quarterbacks with the way he's been playing.
And I think that Shedeur is really getting close to being a lock for the number one pick. I mean, I think it's Shedeur has been consistent in a year of extremely inconsistent quarterback play in college football. Like, we had all these conversations about Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe and Garrett Nussmeier and you know, outside of the SEC, it's some of the other guys that we're talking about, obviously, on this list. Extreme inconsistency out of that entire group. And so when you look at Shadur, he's been consistent. He's been the guy that's delivered, and he actually – I know that he was good last year, but I think, and I don't think this is all the new offensive line he's got, but he's made massive strides, in my opinion, in just getting the ball out even more efficiently. So I love what he's done. I do have questions, obviously, about the list, and I'm not going to go at Tom Fornelli about it because he obviously has a very unique list. I like unique lists that are not just reactionary to whatever you saw 3 days ago. And so, but I do wonder why you don't see Cam Ward on the list. I do love the fact that Lenore Sellers is starting to get a lot more love. So, quick thing on Lenore Sellers. They played LSU earlier in the year. He went off early in the game. He gets injured. He leaves the game. LSU comes back and win. Right? He's injured, I think, the following week. He ends up coming back to play Bama in what I guess is like their fourth or fifth game. And I was like, we are making this kid look like he is all world. Like, please shut this guy down. And I couldn't figure it out at the time. And then I watched the next game and the next game, and I was like, oh, this kid's actually pretty good. Well, like, I'm sitting there knocking him. He's actually very good.
He's good. Rocket Sanders is a good player. He wasn't great at times against Mizzou, but he was stood up when it was the biggest. I mean, Sellers has done a good job, too, of finding guys that aren't always active in the offense. I can't remember the kid's name, and I apologize, but he caught the big touchdown in the game, one of the big touchdowns in the game against Mizzou, and he had like four catches in the last like 3 weeks or something, or 4 weeks, and he had like four or five against Mizzou, I think. Give Shane Beamer credit that he's gotten done a good job of finding the right guys and allowing them to grow in what they're doing, and Sellers is a perfect example of that.
And I want to go back to Shadur, too. I think him being at one, he had never even been in this conversation when you look at how they ended last season. So Fornelli factored in the last season. They were 4-8, right? So it's hard to have a conversation about them. This year, they are 8-2, and it's changed. So you're right. He has been consistent in a season. He's a big reason behind the record right now.
If we're going to give credit, too, to Shane Beamer about Lenore Sellers, we have to give a massive amount of credit to Deion and his staff for what he's been able to do. Think about it. That Colorado, it's very possible they have 1 and 2 in the draft, and that is solely based on the fact that Deion Sanders and his staff are there and what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, they recruited him at Jackson – well, once his son, but they recruited him at Jackson State, and those guys believed in them enough to say, I will pick up and go with you. And Travis Hunter believed in him even more than that because he decommitted from Florida State and went there.
And then also just going back to giving credit to the staff, like Mike was saying, they run their practices almost like an NFL practice. So he's preparing his guys for the next level. But, I feel like that has a lot to do with maybe some of the structure in which they run their practices.
Yeah, we did not do NFL practices at Bama.
I know that
there's so many NFL guys on that staff.
Right.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So, and I know our play-by-play guy, Rich Walsh, was talking about that, pointing it out too at practice.
I know we got to mention Tech playing tonight, real quick, in just a sec. But the only question I have for Shadur Sanders when he goes pro, because I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, is, and it's the same thing I had for Caleb Williams, is how is he? Because he's been in a system or an offense where they're up front. Protection is lacked at times.
Sure.
So he has become accustomed to moving and scrambling, and sometimes you have to slow that clock down and say, I got to stay in the pocket and allow things to build and not bail too quickly. I think Caleb Williams has done it at times to a detriment to himself where he should have left, but he's trying. I hope Shadur doesn't have to go through that. I hope he can kind of adjust quicker. Because I think that does make your transition easier.
And that's why I give Deion a pass a lot of times when people say, you know, when he says he'll be guarded about where Shadur goes, I think a lot of people look at that as a negative. I'm fine with it because Lord knows, dude, you do not want him to go to the wrong system and all of a sudden your coordinator, much like Caleb Williams, is fired 8 games into the year and your career now all of a sudden is in great flux. So I think they're right to be a little bit concerned.
Georgia Tech in action tonight against NC State. It is the Yellow Jackets' home finale on this Thursday night matchup this evening. So be keeping an eye on this one.
Thursday night game backed ESPN. Up with a Friday night game that you'll get for Georgia next week. And you'll have all the things that come along with TIFF, that ESPN game, where you'll have the winning coach talks to SVP and everything else that comes along with those Thursday night matchups. So that'll be good. Georgia Tech should win this game. And I don't know that I've ever gotten on here and said that. Georgia Tech should win this game. NC State's not a great football team. They've struggled recently. I think you're getting healthy at Georgia Tech in a couple of the right places.
Coming off a bye, right? I think the last time they played was
Miami.
Coming
off a bye and doing all the right things. So I think they should go out and win this game, and hopefully we're watching Brent Key all over SportsCenter tonight.
You're a 9-point favorite at home where you have not lost all season.
Boom.
And I agree with what you said about
it. Dreams go to die.
Tiffany's got a really – I think Tiffany's got a point that should be – expanded a little bit by me because I'm going to do it. Haynes King, you're coming off a bye. Haynes King could barely throw the last time you played against Miami, Tiff. You had to run Philo in, which worked, but maybe Haynes King is as healthy as he's been in a while. Hopefully, with fingers crossed, he's as healthy as he's been in a while.
Yep.
You've taken back home field advantage under Brent Key at Georgia Tech.
Let's
keep
go.
It rolling.
Let's
go get that seventh win of the year.
Let's go.
Hopefully, maybe the Falcons can feed off of the win for the Yellow Jackets if they get it this week when they come off of their bye week. We'll see them in action next weekend. So what do they need to work on while they have this time off right now?
How much time you got?
Specifically, offense. Okay, the guys will break it down next. The top of the hour, we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.